We continue our series on cravings today. We've talked about this Lenten season as being a time when Jesus calls us to fast and to pray and to give. And when we think of fasting, we think of cravings, the things that we really want but don't have. And we've been talking about real love, real belonging, real... what did we do last week? Oh, well. It must not have been that important. It's kind of sad. For some reason, my mind went blank. So real love, real belonging, pardon me? Real relationships, yes, thank you. Oh, someone was listening. It's pretty sad from the guy that God gave the words to. But anyways, and today we're looking at real meaning. And we're very excited because we've changed things in our service. If you noticed, we've decided that it seems that when people come to worship, they've got so many distractions, so many things that are kind of keeping their minds from focusing on Jesus that we thought, let's have our time of worship, the first time part of our worship, be all about communing. Communing with God in worship, communing God with in prayer, and communing with Him in the Lord's Supper. And then we would move into communication, to talk about what God is teaching us, what God desires for us. Today we have a special guest who's going to talk about real meaning, because I wanted to share with you, the lesson I wanted to share was from... King Solomon and how he searched for meaning. In this book I've been reading, McManus, I mentioned Soul Cravings. That's where I got the idea for the series, because I was reading it and I'm just like enthralled by how he's leading us through all these different parts of the human desire. And this is one of the quotes from one of his entries. We are all searching for our unique purpose, our divine destiny, or simply a sense of significance or some measure of success. What he says. He says, we're all doing this. This is part of our desire as human beings. And I thought, well, Solomon searched for meaning and learning. Ecclesiastes 1:13 says, and I applied my heart to seek and search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, and all is striving after wind. You understand what he means by striving after wind? You can't catch it. It's just a constant craving, right? What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Then he searched for meaning and pleasure. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guided me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of men to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself, see that theme here? I made myself pools from which to water the forest and of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, see the theme here? All was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Solomon searched for wisdom or for meaning in labor. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. For all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. He didn't really have a lot of confidence in his children, right? And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil my labors of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and great evil. What has a man from all his toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. That's an interesting word. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. And finally, he says in chapter 2, verse 24, there is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given to the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This is also is vanity and a striving after wind. Solomon concludes in the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. I still believe that standing up for the truth, this is a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I want to close with that. I still believe that standing up for the truth of God is the greatest thing in the world. This is the end of life. The end of life is not to be happy. The end of life is not to achieve pleasure or avoid pain. The end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. I want to share with you, I've been working with Rick. He's been doing Stephen Ministries, and so they asked if we could get together, and I just wanted him to share today, because I think that as you heard Solomon striving after all these things and having finally figured it all out at the end, I want Rick to share his life, because he has a great story about what it means to have that sense of real meaning in life. Come on up.
Thanks. Praise God. Would you pray with me real quick for a minute? Father God, I just ask that you get all this glory. You receive all the glory, Lord. That you be with me. That your words would become true in our heart. Because a lot of times we hear stuff, but we don't grab it, grasp it in our hearts, Lord. I thank you, Father God. I ask that you bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello. When I got out of the service, I want to talk to you about a lie and the truth, but I want to talk to you about the lie of this world and the truth of God. When I got out of the service, I figured out that the thing we're supposed to do in life is get a good job, get married, and have some children, and we'd be happy. So I tried that, and a couple years, everything was okay. She ended up leaving with my friend. I didn't know where my kids were. I found myself laying on the floor, just completely lost. My uncle come over and says, you know what you need? And I says, no. And he says, you need Jesus. And I said, I know. So we prayed, and I felt a release. Started going to church. A couple years, I met a very, very beautiful lady. We ended up getting married. God started blessing us. And I mean, he really started blessing us. The biggest problem was I was going to church, but I was walking a line. When I go into church, I'd bring God out. I'd walk that line. I'd go to service. But it was about me. Everything was about me. I craved that feeling that if I felt good, the pastor preached a good message. It was all about feelings. It was all about myself. God was okay. He was there for me. If I needed him, when I would leave, I'd put him back in his little box. And I kept that foot in the world. Eventually, that's going to catch up with you. You're going to fall off that line. And I did. It was gradual at first. The things that God blessed me with, a good job, lots of money, I started buying material things. Those became more important to me than God. Eventually, that wasn't enough. That didn't fill that hole that we're all created with, that we need that perfect love of God, that perfect union with God. Eventually, it became a little bit more. I started dabbling in stuff on the internet and stuff like that that I should had no business doing. And it was amazing because you would justify it. You would find tremendous ways to justify yourself. You would say, well, it's just a little bit of this or that, but that becomes not enough. None of those feelings ever, ever will completely satisfy. You'll take some pleasure in something for a little while, but it will never be enough. It's got to be something else. Like Solomon said, whatever I started setting my eyes on, I would do, I would grab. Eventually, I joined a bike club. I mean, when I say I started going off, it wasn't just overnight. Eventually, I started missing church more and more. Eventually, I just walked away. I never had anybody from the church ever call me. And this is why I want to say one thing. Please, if you're around somebody that's in your church and all of a sudden they're just not around anymore or they're not there, take 5 minutes. Take a minute just to call them on the phone. Because don't leave it up to the pastors or the elders. It's so important for us. Would it have made a difference? I don't know. But the thing is, eventually the church just said, well, he's not going to come to church. We'll kick him out. We'll take his membership away. Oh, whoopee. That hurt. The thing is it just kept getting worse and worse. I joined a bike club. Everything. I still, when I would come under conviction, I would kind of tuck it back a little bit. Eventually, I quit coming under conviction. Whatever, I got into things that I'm so, so ashamed of. Things that you never believe you would get involved in. I don't know if it's one thing that saved me, but when I first got saved, I picked this up and I read it all the way through. Word for word. And it was funny that times the word would come back to me. I know now that Satan was trying to destroy me because there would always, it'd be funny sometimes, but somebody would start, I'd be in a bar or a clubhouse or something like that, and somebody would start talking about something of God. And guys, and biker guys would say, get them, preach. The word of God had come back to me. But the reason I know Satan was trying to destroy me, because it would happen over and over again. And I mean, when you got some guy that's 6'4", 300 pounds, stand over you and go, you don't believe in that Jesus stuff, do you? And I'd always remember, deny me before men and I will deny you before the Father. And I would look at him, no fear, I didn't care. I'd fight in a minute. I'd look at him and say, yeah, I do believe in it. I wasn't living it, but I would not go that far. And it was like a line that I just wouldn't cross. And I think eventually, I don't know, but the thing is I want to say is I got to the point where I just didn't care about anybody. I didn't care about my family. I didn't care about anybody but myself. It had to be me. And when I would snatch on to something that I wanted and it didn't satisfy, then I would go a little deeper. I would get worse. And I gradually got to the point where I gradually got to the point where I just didn't even care about myself anymore. See, Satan promises that if we got a super job, that's going to fulfill that need inside you. if you had this person or that person, that's gonna satisfy that need. If I got this car. The problem isn't through all this. Even when I was in the church, I didn't know what love was. I had no idea. I had this notion that love was a feeling. I mean, it was, you know, if I felt that I was loved, then I was loved. If I felt that I loved something, I loved it. I never had the real meaning, the real truth of what love was. And things just kept getting worse and worse. It got to that point where I just didn't care about anything. It was all about satisfying whatever I would set my eyes upon. I was in a truck stop in, this happened about 4 years ago, I want to say now. I was in a truck stop in Gary. Oh, God is awesome. I was in a truck stop in Gary, Indiana. I don't remember where this man came from. I don't remember him ever walking in. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. He was just there beside me. Weird dressed. Started talking to me. Started talking to me of judging sin. Never preached the gospel to me. Just talked to me about God's judgment. How we are to judge sin. And things started coming to my mind. Things that had happened years and years ago. I knew that God was done with me. I knew that God had put up with me long enough. I look back now. Saints, God never left me, but man, did I drag him through a sewage pit. I used to always say that I drug him through the mud, but I drug him through a sewer pit. But he never left me. He stayed right there with me. And this guy talked to me. And he says, I gotta go. And I said, no, don't go. I want to talk. He said, I got to go. I got up and I followed him out. I says, I just had this urge that I didn't want him to leave. He walked out to my truck and he stopped. He turned around, he shook my hand. He says, I got to go now. And he left. There was one way in and out of this truck stop. No truck ever left. No truck at all ever left that place. But I knew. And I says, got my truck. And I says, God, I know. But I'm in a situation I can't get out of. There's no way that I could humanly see to get out of this situation. You do something, Lord. He did. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I knew the minute it happened, it was God. I walked out. I said, praise you, God. Praise you. Thank you. I had to drive to Pennsylvania that day. I'd been up for 20-some hours. I slept a couple hours. I got in my truck, and I was like, what do I do now, Lord? I was filling my truck up at a TA. I looked up, and there was a trailer there with a cross on it. It said, Transport for Christ. I walked in, and he goes, hello. I said, let's pray. At this point, within a few days, I mean, things started happening. I never felt a lot of guilt when I was doing the things I did. All I was in the pursuit of that pleasure. Satan who lied to me, the world who lied to me, this is what you need, this is what you need, this is what you need. After all that, now Satan starts dumping the guilt on me. He dumps the guilt on me. All that pleasure, all that I pursued, the guilt was so tremendous, I couldn't live with it. I couldn't understand. I couldn't live with it. I used to sit on my back porch, and I was like, I can't deal with this, God. I know what your word says. I know you said you'll never remember it no more. need to backtrack for 1 minute, though. Through all this, my wife, oh my God, I love her. She stayed on her knees for 15 years praying for me. Praying for me, never wavering. If you think God doesn't answer prayer, anyway, that guilt became so bad, I couldn't live with myself. I was ashamed. And that's what Satan does. He tries to get you to bite on something, and when you do, and then he'll throw it back in your face in a minute. While I was driving down the road, and I was praying to God. I drive a truck, so I spend a lot of time with the Lord, and I love it. But I was praying to God. I said, God, I don't understand. I can't comprehend this. I know what your word says, but I don't. I got it here, but I didn't know it. I didn't have it at my heart. I had a vision. I was laying on my face before God, begging him, pleading with him. And I was doing this as I was driving. I was pleading with God. I don't understand. I can't get it, Lord. I can't live like this anymore. And I couldn't. I couldn't live with that guilt. All of a sudden, I see myself laying before God. And I was just pleading, my face in the ground. All of a sudden, there was Christ. He stepped in between me. God was looking at me. And then I knew. I knew it was in my heart. I understood then. I understood it totally. See, God will put stuff in our heart. And as we think about it and keep that, it starts to work our way to our mind and out our mouth. Satan puts stuff in front of our eyes. That's where it says, take every thought captive. Satan puts stuff in front of our eyes. If we take it in our mind, we start thinking about that, it works its way down into our heart. And that love of God, he started taking me through true love. But one thing he did, what he showed me, was not only his love, started teaching me what true love, but he showed me something, and I'll never forget it. We've all lost loved ones. We've all lost somebody we really cared about. And that hurt that's inside us when we lose that. God showed me, as he was teaching me his love, one of the attributes of God is that love, but the backside of that is the hurt. And in our finite minds, God's love is so, we can't comprehend it, but it's so awesome. But he showed me that hurt is multiplied millions of times. As his love is that hurt, he feels that hurt way more than we get, because we can only love a finite way. But he showed me that hurt. He showed me how much he hurt for me and us. Showed me how much I hurt him. Just made that love come alive. Like I said earlier, the whole time I was in church, it was always about me. What could God do to me? I'd come to church. I hope he's got something for me today. I started realizing that love. I go to church now and I go, God, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you? It's not about us. It's about going in there and being there for somebody that needs you right now. Or maybe just wants you to just pray for somebody. When I went to my wife and asked her forgiveness, said, Rick, I can forgive you, but I can never trust you again. And I understand that. That's okay. God's working on that too. I lost everything. I lost everything. I lost everything I had. Kept my house. That was it. And my wife. Thank God for that. I ruined my kids' relationships. I lost my job. In 07, I had... God tried to get my attention. No, in 07, my heart went bad. Valve in my heart went bad. I almost died. Doctor said it was the second worst one he'd ever seen. I think that brought me back. Nope. Little things along the way. I mean, I lost my job a year later. Lost everything. But you know what? I'm distressed. I'm so much happier. I'd rather have nothing. Be a doorman in the house of God than what I had, because I know now it's nothing. It's meaningless. So I just wanted to share that with you, because so often we get caught up in the lies of this world. We fail to see that the truth, like he said, it's all chasing in the wind. I praise the Lord for what he's done in my life. I thank him. Give him all the glory.
Do you see why I thought his had a Solomon story? Yeah, let's give him thanks for... Thank you. The passage that Rick asked me to share that he put on... God put on his heart is, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, one's own resources and or in the stability of earthly, or pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or instability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. And so if there's anyone that would like to pray after, we're going to have the announcements, the benediction, prayer for the meal. We talk about the communication time, and then we're going to go into the community, which is the meal we have together and leaving here to go and be lights into the world. But if